I was looking at this verse tonight, and I know I think it wasn't been that. It's been not that long ago. I probably preached something out of this same text I'm going to read to you here in just a few minutes, but I'm probably going in a little bit different direction as well. And so I want to think about this. I got the title of the message. I didn't get back there with Eileen, but Eileen, you can probably shoot it down while I do it. The title of the message is the to-do list. To-do in quotation marks, to-do list. Y'all know what a to-do list is, right? Y'all know what that is, a to-do list. And, you know, when you think about the commands of the Bible, I was thinking about this. This is the thought that I had in my head for like a week or so. And it had to do with, like, the word responsibility towards, you know, when we think about being saved, you know, and a lot of times people just think, well, I'm going to get saved. And then, boy, there it is, you know, and there's no expectation, you know, from God or from Jesus on my behalf. You know, what does God expect from us? I've thought about that right there. But we know about there's commands in the Bible. And in the way English is set up, we have negative commands, a negative command, and then there's positive commands. And I understand that all the commands of God are positive in their outcome or their intent. But what I mean by that is a negative command is a thou shalt not. That's what we would call a negative command. Don't do this. Thou shalt not or be not. Things like thou shalt not steal. That's what they call a negative command. It's in the negative tense, I guess I could say right there. And then there's positive commands as well. You know, do this. Be this. That's a positive. It's saying the same thing, you know, in a different way. And sometimes you can't say it. You have to say it in a negative command. And you know, I thought about this when I was going along. This service might be just a little bit different. I normally don't do this on a Sunday night or even a Sunday morning preaching. I might do it on a Wednesday night. But when we think about somebody in a when you think about positive commands or think about negative commands. Somebody give me a positive command. What's a positive command from the Word of God? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. That's a positive command. Somebody give me another one. Well, and in that same text, there's another one in that same verse. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's right. That's a positive command. What's another positive command? Preach the gospel, go. So there's a go, that's a positive. You must be born again. Yeah, it's not exactly in the same, because you must be born again is not to a Christian. And it's just, that's a statement really more than a command. I mean, it is a command if you're going to be saved. Yeah, well, it's a statement. You must be born again, but it's not necessarily a command. Because God's not commanding anybody to... See, it's a statement, but it's not a command. There's some of those, it's close. What's another one? Honor your father and mother. There's a positive command from the Ten Commandments. What else? Raise up a child in the way he should go. Love. Well, we said that one already. That was the first one. Yeah. Rise and shine. Ta-da-ling. Make a joyful noise. There's a positive command. Some of them aren't on all the heavy subjects, you know. Some of them are. What else? Think of anybody. Anybody else? Love your wives. That's right. Pray without ceasing. How about that? That's a positive command. What about separate yourself? Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. Those are, well, touch not. That would be a negative command. Separate yourself is a positive command. So we got a long list. Anybody think of something else pop in your mind real quick on a positive command? These are positive commands from the Word of God, you know, to do these certain things. Some of them, rejoice in the Lord always. That's right there in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. That's my text for tonight. Philippians 4, Eileen, Philippians 4, 4 through 9. That's the text for tonight. You got the title. We'll get to the points in a minute. So there you go. There's one right there. I want to talk about that. Okay, well then I thought about this. What about negative commands? We think about negative commands, and I looked at some things here, and I don't know, I started thinking these are more of a statement there. Luke 9:23, it said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's really a statement there, not a negative command. Luke 14:26 says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, you know, I don't know. That's probably, like I say, that is really a statement. It's not a command there. 14:27 says, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, there's not a command to bear the cross, but it said if you don't, that you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So that's not really a negative command. Verse 33 of chapter 14 also says, "So likewise, whosoever he of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." So not commanded, but it's a statement that would probably be taken in a maybe in the negative sense as well. And so, like I said, it's, you know, it wasn't a thou shalt not, but there's some stipulations there that, you know, and of course, there's a whole lot tied into that. Like I said this morning, the Holy Spirit, you have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do any of these things as well. And, you know, I had this thought, and I don't know why the introduction is going the way it did, but when I was looking at this, because it's not really exactly tied in with that. When I was thinking about the cross, I made a statement last week when I was preaching that when you saw somebody bearing a cross on their way to Calvary's Hill, where they executed criminals or going anywhere, when you saw somebody bearing a cross, you knew they weren't coming back. You know, that was an all-in deal right there. And when we think about the cross, you know, all commands, negative or positive commands, give us a choice to make whether we're going to do them or not. And I thought about that with the cross. And we think about Jesus Christ. You know, he had a choice there. I don't think it wasn't a command. It was a statement, you know, that he would die. I mean, he had to look at that cross. And he had to think about the death on a cross. And people in those days, they knew what a death on the cross was. I mean, they knew about the suffering, the pain, the nails, the scourge usually that came before it, the amount of time it could take you to die. They say sometimes it could take days to die on a cross. So they knew about that. Jesus looked at that cross. He weighed all that out. And yet he had to make the choice to go and be obedient unto death and to die on that cross. And so he went through with it. And of course it would be death, because if you didn't die soon enough on the cross, the Romans would see to it that you did die on the cross. And so when we start looking about following Christ and some of the statements I read from Luke chapter 14 and about being a disciple, about the counting the cost, the Bible talks about that, count the cost ahead of time. You know what, I think this, and I know, listen, salvation's a free thing. I understand it. Salvation's free. But there is a commitment to being a Christian. There is a commitment level to following Jesus Christ. He said it himself. He said, you know, if you're not going to take up your cross, and that has to do with dying to self, that means that we go back to the negative and positive commands in the Bible. And we have these commands, thou shalt not do. There's a commitment level to that, and there's a responsibility level to that. Thou shalt not, and then that's the negative ones, and the positive ones on thou shalt do these things. Thou shalt, and we could look at those statements of thou shalt take up a cross daily. You shall have to do that. There's that expectations, and because I thought about this about a week ago, and I don't know that you could ever exhaust this topic, but does God have expectations of us? Does Jesus have expectations of his people? Is there some expectations? Go ye into all the world. There's a positive command, right? That's not a negative. That's a positive one. That's the Great Commission. That is an expectation. I think all the commands, positive or negative commands, are expectations from God. That's what God expects. And there's even demands. If you want to look, commands are really demands on God's people. And so many people that get saved think that they're done and there's no responsibility. We don't like that word responsibility. You know, we're living in a hectic time as it is, and it seems like there's a lot of things pulling at us. But there are responsibilities to being a Christian and expectations from God. Of course, he empowers us to fulfill the expectations. He gives us all the tools that we need. He gives us, you know, the Holy Spirit to do there. But we think about there's more to salvation than just being saved, avoiding hell, and then there's nothing else that God expects out of us as Christians, as the church particularly. There. And so, you know, I just happened to think about that. Now, all the commands, as I said a minute ago, positive and negative, result in positive things. God has, my parents gave me a lot of negative commands when I was growing up, you know, thou shalt not, you know, don't go here, don't go there, don't hang around with this person. And it was all intended for my good, yours too. And same thing with God. You know, God knows what's best, and we don't know. And so I started thinking about that, and that's kind of the introduction probably doesn't seem like it goes with the rest of the message, but maybe it will when it's all said and done. And when I look at the text that we're going to look at tonight, and the text I already gave you there, I'm going to really look at four positive commands. There's four positive commands that we have from the Word of God right here in this text, and the commands of Christ, and really a to-do list. We got some to-do list of four to-dos from Paul on a list right there. And like I said before, how many of you have a to-do list, especially this time of year? I mean, yeah, everybody got them. Somebody tell me, give me somebody, what kind of to-dos do you have to do? Huh? Don't forget to pick up Melissa. That's on your to-do list. What else to-dos you got to do? Matt? Huh? Put up the tree. Wrap present. How about buying presents? Huh? What else you got to do? Hey, and listen, okay, yeah, make you, yeah, whatever. Then when it's not this time of year, what kind of weekly to-do lists do we all have, right? I mean, you got kids, you got them going to school, you got to buy clothes, you got to get this from the store, you've got to get, how many of you run out of stuff at home? Huh? Man, I'm telling you what. You know, it's crazy what you run out of this and that, and you know, so you got, we always have a to-do list. We have those kind of things. I'm going to give you some lists right here. We'll talk about it. And there's four lists in the text that we have tonight. And I'm going to read that to you right now. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, this was one of the positive commands, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That's dealing with worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. There's a positive command. And the God of peace shall be with you. So right off the bat, we got four lists I want to talk about. They're to-do lists. And the very first one that you see is in, I did it a little bit out of order just because the topic that I'm going to give you. But the first one is a prayer list. And verse 6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Now, how many of you have a prayer list? How many of you got a list? Anybody got a list? You wrote it down? I mean, you know how forgetful we are. I'm gonna tell you what. Now, I should have a prayer list written down. I don't have one written down. Shame on me for that. I should have one written down. I remember going to the men's prayer advance several years ago, and I think Brother Gibbs has told this story a couple times at the prayer advance for those men of you that have gone there. But he was talking about one time he had to go to court with Lester Roloff. How many of you know who Lester Roloff is? Preached on the radio, man, been a long time. All right, he had to go to court with Lester Roloff over something. He was being sued. It wasn't looking good, Brother Gibbs said. I don't think he went into details about it. Maybe he did, but he said the thing wasn't looking good. And he said that him and Lester Roloff had gone to a city, and they were in a hotel. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang, And it was said, it was Lester Roloff calling Brother Gibbs, said, Brother Gibbs, he said, come on down, get on down here. And Brother Gibbs said he went into the room and he said that there was papers, there was two beds in the room and there was papers all over the beds. And Brother Gibbs said, well, what are you doing? You know, you got the case laid out. We're going to, you know, look over the case. You're going to pray about it. He goes, no, 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 it's not nothing about the case. He said, it's my prayer list. And he said, it was covering two beds. And he said, we got down there and he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, well, we're going to pray. That's what we're going to do. He said, Brother Gibbs, you know how he is. He'd say, well, okay, you know. He said, you're going to pray. So he said, he went down there and started praying. He said, buddy, we got, he said, he prayed and prayed, man. He said, I was running out of stuff to pray. And he said, he looked over in the corner and he said, old Brother Roloff was over there still praying. So he said, man, I bowed my head down and started thinking about something else to pray. He said, we prayed for another half hour. He said, I looked over and Brother Roloff was still praying. He said, okay. So, and he said, what it was, he prayed hour and a half. Got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, prayed for an hour and a half over the prayer list that he had laid out on the bed. I'm thinking, man alive. And you know, how many of you been to the prayer advance? Everybody's been to the prayer advance. Y'all, and you've been there when we do the sweet hour of prayer. How many of you remember the first time you went in the sweet hour of prayer? And they said, we're going to have a sweet hour of prayer. I'm telling you the truth, man. I mean, now Harold helps you out with this. You know, you're not used to doing this. He gives you, like, if you ever notice when you're there, he asks, when we're getting ready to do that, he says, how many of you are first timers at the prayer advance? And those ushers give you something different. Then they give you a different pamphlet because all of us got it when we first went. And then the rest of us, he gives us something else. And what it is, it's a guideline to prayer. It's not your specific prayer list, but boy, you can sure make one off of it. And it's a good thing. I'm going to tell you what, it's a good thing because I believe I just went off the top of my head and in about 5 minutes, I couldn't think of nothing else really. And you know good and well, we got more than 5 minutes worth of stuff to pray about, right? We didn't have a to-do list or a prayer list. And this thing helped us. It categorized. Every now and then I'll find one of the things and I'll look through those old pamphlets. Matter of fact, when you go to the prayer advance, and while I'm speaking about it, let me plug it at a commercial right now. Time men to be signing up for the prayer advance. Julie's got one in her Bible right there, one of those things. You want to read that in front of everybody? yeah, you got a sweet hour, right. The men, go ahead and get signed up for that. You can go on there. It's at the end of January. Just go on their website, Christ Life Ministries, get signed up and everything. Brother Harold always takes care of me. Back in the summer, he sent an email to the church, said I was registered for the prayer advance, which is a way of saying I don't have to pay nothing, is what it is. But get signed up for that. The prayer advance will be here before you know it. Christmas will be over. January's here, the end of January. Whatever those last days, it's going to be the men's prayer advance. Ladies, you got yours coming up in March. I need to promote that a little bit more. But what a blessing it is. But, you know, we got out there. We used to be up at Goshen, man, and you'd be outside in the snow. I always got in a van because I drove it, so I could go out there and start it up and get the heat on. And, man, you know, you start praying, you're thinking, man, there's no way I'm going to pray for an hour. There's no way. I'm going to tell you what, you start going down that list and start getting, you know, settled down and start praying over things and start thinking where that applies. I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to get done in an hour. You'll be running out. You'll be looking and saying, oh, man, it's time for lunch. Don't want to miss that. And it's time for lunch. We got to get, you know, we got to wrap it up and get going. You know, you head on in there. So I think that we need to have, and what he's saying right there, he said, pray always right there. You know, and be careful for nothing, but in everything. Well, how much is everything? That's everything, right? I mean, okay, we start with our life, our own personal life, and I like to start there. We start with our own personal life, and then if you're married, you start with your marriage, and if you got kids, you can start with your kids. You're going to be over an hour right now. You know, you get through this group right here, you're going to still be on the hour. You'll be done with your sweet hour of prayer right there, and you're going to be on sweet two-hour prayer. By the time you start thinking about your church's needs, your church family's needs, just think about this. Say on a list right here, I tried this one time. It didn't work out too good. I think everybody misunderstood me. They thought we was doing things in segments. I said, no, I don't want to do it in segments. How about if you walked into church right here, and see, I'm up here looking at y'all every week, and I know when you're not here because everybody sits in the same seat. But I can go around the church, and I can picture in my mind, I can go into the back row, Nancy and Paul Marion. And I can come up to the next row, and if everybody's here, I can think of Wanda Smith, Penny, Doris Ann, you know, right on down that row right there, Daryl and Eileen sitting in the back. I start thinking, what if we went to everybody's seat in the church and prayed for that person for just a minute? Just a minute. Look how many, just what we're down a little bit tonight. Backsliders, we need to pray for them. We're down a little bit, but just think if we prayed for a minute for each one of us in here tonight. Okay, just think if you prayed for 2 minutes right there, you'd be getting pretty close to an hour right now. You know, for every single one. If you went down in your head where everybody sits in their seat, or you came down here to the church, if you can get in, and you went to everybody's seat that sits in this church and prayed for that person right there. That you got to, you know, and you'd be better off just to have a list instead of trying to, you'll miss somebody, because I can do it. I can get through the whole church and I'll remember somebody back on the other side and I'll say, oh yeah, you know, forgot about them. Usually one of the backsliders is not here every week, so it didn't stick out. But anyway, but you know, we think about this list that we ought to have. And then we kind of can group things into some categories right there that'll help you as well. We think about, you know, how our Wednesday night, what do I always say? What's our biggest topic to pray about on Wednesday night? What kind of needs? Health need, physical needs. Okay, so we can group them in. We can have the physical right there, and then we get to the spiritual things, right? And a lot of times the physical is still going to outweigh the spiritual, because for the life of us, we can't think of nothing spiritual to pray about. But there's plenty to pray about. And so we think about, we can group it into the physical and the spiritual needs of other people, others that we know. And then we can group it into the physical and spiritual needs of our own self. It's okay. Paul prayed for the spiritual need or physical needs of his own self. And he prayed for the spiritual needs of others, really probably more than himself right there. And so, you know, we got this positive command right here on this prayer list to pray, to pray always for everything, a positive command about everything. My goodness, everything. And like I said, our memories are so bad, we really, really need to have a list. And you start making a list and start, if you first categorize it. That pamphlet, I think, that Harold, it's really categorized into certain things. He gives you some specifics under it, but you can have subcategories under that. Man, your list is going to get pretty long in a hurry, and you're going to find out you're going to be like Lester Roloff. You're going to have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning if you got anything else to do the rest of the day to get through the list in time. I'm going to tell you what, all the spiritual giants that's been in the world, that they had something going on and to that effect with that amount of prayer in her life every day. So we got a prayer list, the very first thing, and this is out of order, but this would have been the first one if I did it chronologically. The second list that we see in this text right here is a praise list. A praise list. See in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, how many people have a praise list? Ain't nobody got a praise list, because we're Baptists. We're Baptists. We don't know nothing about praising God, right? A praise list. I mean, I think that would be a good idea, wouldn't it? How about on Wednesday night? We got Wednesday night coming up. How about y'all that come on Wednesday night? How about get a praise list together so we can go off the praise list? That way we can think of something to praise God for. Somebody tell me something you could put on a praise list. Somebody give me something to put on a praise list. Salvation? Amen. Health? Well, it'll be on the list. That'll definitely be on the list. Praising God for health. What else? Huh? Yeah, Casey was in church. So was Lori Eastman. There's a praise right there. Boy, there's something to thank God about. She hadn't been a long time. I told her I appreciate her being here today and talked to her a little bit back there in the back. That's a blessing right there. Amen. What was I preaching about this morning? Huh? That wasn't the main theme, though. What was the main theme of the message? It's in the title. Being led into truth, and more specifically, being led by the Holy Spirit. There's a praise, brother, right there, that God gives us His Holy Spirit, that He gives us His Holy Spirit to fills us and leads us and guides us into all truth. That's what He does. What else is a praise thing, a praise? Because, see, some of the things already are physical things. See where our mind gets that somebody was in church. That's a physical thing, even though it may result in a spiritual thing. What else? Yeah. Hey, I mean, along, and these are even some physical things, so I'm going to give you something. Hey, we got a pretty nice place to come, right? We got a pretty nice building. I mean, man, we got heat and air conditioning, and we got lights, and man, we got these things here to look at our text, and we got our songs up there, man, and we got people doing that. We got all kind of things that people that decorated and all that. We got things to praise about like that. Somebody was saying something over here. God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness in spite of our unfaithfulness. He doesn't do it for spite, but there, right there. And so we think about, you know, all kind of things. What else? Think about something to praise about. Get your mind going. We ought to be spitting this stuff out like it's going out. Huh? Think about His Word. Family. He what? Okay, provision. Answered prayer. Never leaves or forsakes us. Mercy, grace, love. Huh? Forgiveness. We need all those things too, don't we? I mean, man, listen, there's a whole lot of things to be praising about, be excited about. How about just creation? How about life itself? How about breath? How about you got a pulse? Some of you I'm not real sure about, but see if you got one. You got a pulse. I mean, this is good. You know, there's so many things that we start thinking about we can praise God for. I praise God that we can serve Him. How about that? Service is a job. It's a work, you know, but we can praise God that we have the ability that we got to go out and do something for God. So, we ought to have a praise list maybe. Instead of just a prayer list, on the prayer list, we ought to have a praise list. Because on a praise list, see, you're not asking God for nothing. You know, because don't you get tired of somebody always asking you for something? Do you ever as a human being get tired of somebody's always asking you for something? Huh? I wonder if God gets that way. Man, He don't think like we do. I understand it. But what about just having a prayer, just thanking God, not for what He's done, just for who He is and what He is, and praising God and just giving Him some praise, not making a request, just praise list. There's a list right there. You think about circumstances, don't we? A lot of times pray about circumstances, don't we? I mean, that's really what our main prayer is. You know, Paul, when you think about him, he wrote this. He had experienced great difficulties in his life. But this is what he said. He was the one that was telling the Philippian church. He was telling him, he was probably in jail when he wrote it. Rejoice in the Lord always. He's talking about rejoicing in the Lord, not in or because of circumstances. You know, because we rejoice in circumstances. Hey, you go home, there's $1 million in the mailbox when you get home. We'd be rejoicing, right? But not rejoicing because, listen, we're always going to have circumstances. You know, you ever notice that? Isn't there always something going on that may be in the negative? You got this problem, that problem, this is coming up, that's coming up. There's always something. That to-do list will get you sometime. That things you got to-do list. I had to lay something on my computer tomorrow because I got to deal with the health care people, which really isn't all that bad dealing with them and all. But finding out some stuff on, we got to change our policy just a little bit because our deductible's so high, and man, we got some good news. It's going to be, the church is going to pay less than what they've been paying, even down to may not have to pay nothing for my health care insurance. How about that? Hey, there's something to praise about right there. It's not going to cost anything. But there's always circumstance. There's always things that cause us sorrow. There's things that we have in life that cause us fear. There's things that we have in life that cause us doubt. No matter what we do, it seems like we try that. So if we waited for the circumstances to be right, we may not be able to rejoice, like what Paul has commanded us to do. We look at to Jesus Christ, and we look to Him and rejoice in Him regardless of the circumstances. We said, Satan really gets a boot in the rear when we worship God. Satan really gets a kick in the rear end. Praise God and listen, praise is worship. See, we got a young one praising already. Praising God is worship. I'm about to praise that she's taking him to the other room. Hey, getting fussy. She probably had to go to the restroom or something. When we praise God, man, that just kicks Satan down. Remember, think about Job. Remember what he did when Satan went up there before the Lord? And he said, and the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And Satan said, "Yeah, I considered him, but boy, you done built a hedge around him, and boy, you done blessed him." But he said, "That's why he's worshiping you." And God knew. See, God knew Job's heart. He said, "Okay, well, I'll tell you what, take everything he's got, but you can't touch his life." He said, you can't kill him. Take everything he's got." And guess what? Job still praised the Lord. Satan was defeated. But what's Satan trying to do in circumstance? What about some of these negative circumstances, things in life? What's Satan trying to do to you? He's trying to take your joy. He's trying to take your worship. He's trying to take your praise away. And listen, there's times, listen, I understand, there's times it's tougher to praise God. It's tough to praise God when you're really feeling bad, or you're in the hospital, or, you know, you're in rough shape, or something's happened to you. You've lost a spouse or a child or something along those lines right there. Yeah, I understand that, but I'm going to tell you what, Satan gets, look at Job. He lost all of his children, all of his wealth. He ended up losing all of his health, and he still praised God. He still worshiped God, and Satan, he was defeated every single time. Satan thinks he's going to defeat us, and unfortunately, a lot of times he does. He defeats Christians with the circumstances because they don't know, they don't have a praise list. They don't start thinking about the positive things in their life. And listen, God doesn't expect us to or want us to come to church and just, there's a time and a place, honestly, you know, for counseling and for dealing with somebody, you know, and trying to help somebody emotionally going through and something. But when we come here on Sunday morning, what's it about? It's about worshiping God. Listen, it ain't time to pin somebody down in the restroom back there and pour out all your problems and all your, you know, those things that you got. I understand, you know, that's not the time. It's not the place. We're here to worship God. We're here to rejoice in spite of the circumstances, not pout because of the circumstances. You might need some help. Listen, everybody gets down where they need somebody to talk to them and all that, not in the middle of a worship service. Not when we're coming to praise God, because isn't there always going to be a circumstance? Isn't there always going to be a problem? Yes, sir, that's always going to be the case. So we're not, you know, we're to rejoice. He said right there, rejoice in the Lord when? When's always? It's always, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. There's, like I said, there's a time and a place for other things, but we're rejoicing the Lord even then. Listen, we either rejoicing or we're not. That's one of them cut and dried. You're either rejoicing in the Lord or you're not. There's no in-between right there. The reason that corporate worship services are cold and dead and hollow is because people are not worshiping God in private. This is the accumulation. I've said this many times, and I'll keep saying, when we come on Sunday, this is supposed to be accumulation of our worship all week. And listen, when you come in here and it's cold and dead and dry, I'm going to tell you what, you think it's cold and dead and dry here, let me see what you got going on at home in your private devotions. I bet it's colder, deader, and drier than it is here. Huh? And if it is, it's pretty bad. At times. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason. Right there, because there's no praise, which is worship, at home. It's got to be there too. Instead of being buried by problems, we need to stand on the promises of God. And there's times, like I said, when rejoicing's not easy. But, you know, joy is a contagious thing, right? I know y'all ain't going to go for this, but we'll try it. Everybody just start laughing. You don't even know what you're laughing about, right? Just because I told you to laugh. You ever been around somebody, you know, you kind of walked in a room and somebody's just cracking up like Jasmine right here? Jasmine laughs a lot way down inside. Huh? You ever walked in a room and somebody's just busting up? Sherry does it because I'll get to laughing at something. I'll just be thinking about something. I was laughing my head off in the shower because I thought about something that was real funny before. Larry's laughing. He don't even know. I'm not even done with my story. See, and now we're going to laugh because you're laughing. Huh? Don't that happen? And you ever come in on somebody and they're laughing and you walk up and you start smiling right off the bat, right? See, you don't come in there all mad like, what are you doing? What are you doing laughing? You come in there smiling like, what are you laughing about? What's wrong? And they're like, oh, I can't talk. And they're just laughing. And you go, what is it? And you start, you laugh. What are you laughing about? You don't even know. Isn't that a contagious thing? It is. It's rejoice. That's what he's talking about there. I mean, the other is true. If you start crying, you ever watch one of them weepy movies and somebody gets crying? You butt boohooing, everybody starts crying. I know some brothers I know these brothers, they had real weak stomachs. And if one of them threw up, all of them threw up. It was just blah. It just, they couldn't help it. And it's the same way with that, rejoicing. But here's what it says. It says, rejoice in the Lord. See that? See there right there? Rejoice in the Lord always. That means what's no matter what's going on in your life, because God is in control. There's a difference, right? It's not about us, it's about Him. Somebody wrote this, that the calendar of the sinner only has a few days of the year marked as festival days. But every day of the Christian calendar is marked by the hand of God as a day of rejoicing. Every day on the Christian calendar. This is when I was going to tell you the joke about the lady and all the kids and using her contraband and guns. I was going to tell you that right now. I already told you this morning. Now, we should rejoice always because God will ultimately triumph over every situation in life. And our security is not in circumstances anyway, but it's in the sovereign Lord. That's where our rejoice. So we got a prayer list. You going to make it, Stephanie? We got a prayer list. We got a praise list. Got a big yawn going on right there. Now look here. Here's the next list in our text. It's called the ponder list in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, here it is, think on these things. It's a ponder list. You got to have a list on what to think about. What do you think about? What do we think about most of the time? I know it might be different for everybody. What do you think? What do you think? Just like categorically, not specifically. Categorically, what do most people dwell on in their thought life? Huh? A self? Okay, that's one. It's not what I'm thinking, but I mean it does deal with that. That's in there. What else? What about the family? All right. You're beating around the bush. All right. Look right here. All right, let me help you with it right here. Look right back here. I'm gonna tell you what verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. What did I say the definition of that is? Don't worry. You know what most people think about? They're worrying about stuff. They're worried about, you know, family, health, problems, you know. It's just human nature, right? So a lot of times what's going on, we talked about the circumstances of life. What's on our mind most of the time is the circumstances of life. And, you know, you keep thinking about them. How many of you, I had an incident happen, wasn't a real good incident, a few years ago, just a conflict that was, you know, stressful moment. And if you ever have that happen in your life, and it might be a couple years ago, 10 years, and every now and then that thing pops up in your head out of the blue. It's already been taken care of. It's already dealt with. And it just comes up and your blood pressure goes up. You start thinking about it. Anybody ever have that happen to you? That's not from God. I had one of them this morning while I'm brushing my teeth. I said, why am I thinking about this now? I got to get ready to go preach, right? Rejoice always, right? I'm rejoiced. I'm going to... Because that's Satan's doing that. Satan's doing right that. So listen, we've already been commanded. We had a positive command or a negative. It's really a negative command in verse 6 to not worry. But most people think about their thoughts dwell on problems, which they have. And what happens when you dwell on your problems? Guess what's going to go out the window? Your joy is going out the window. Your peace is going out the window. And then when there's a lack of peace, it comes from a lack of trust. This is where it all breaks down all along the way right there. And, you know, thoughts are real and powerful things. Our thought life is real and powerful, and it can lead a person. Your thought life can lead you rightly or wrongly, depending on what you think about, what kind of problems. Ponder, of course, we know to ponder the truth. That's what this is telling us right here. This is whatsoever things are true, right? Only 8% of what people worry about are really legitimate concerns. They did a survey. Only 8% of what you worry about is usually a legitimate concern. It means 92% of what people worry about either isn't going to come true, is not true to start with, it's some imaginary thing that's going on in somebody's mind. 92% of the things that we worry about aren't even real, are not worth worrying about. So what do? We ponder the promises of God, God's word, God's truth. It's right there. Whatsoever things are true. This is what you think about these things. It's said at the bottom. So this is your ponder list. Think about whatever things are true. Ponder the honest and just things. It means worthy of respect or things that are right. Ponder the pure, lovely, and things of good report. That's talking about moral purity right there. You know, a lot of people have a pornographic mind. You know, and if you lived around, you've been around, there's things you've seen that you shouldn't have seen, right? And there was things you might have seen but sometimes those things pop in your mind. My pastor used to say they can pop in. Don't let them stay there. Just let them keep on going out thinking about something else best you can. So we have moral purity. Put something on your list to think about. Anybody got a thinking list? We have to think about. We need a think list, right? A think list. Good report means things that are worth talking about. Things that are worth talking about. And then a virtue list. Virtue, if something has virtue, it means it will motivate us to do better. Virtuous things motivate us to do better in whatever it may be. So we need a think list, I guess, or a ponder list right there. And then the last list right there is a practice list. We see a practice list. See what says, those things which ye have, verse 9, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he said, do. Do it. Just do it. This is a practice list. Things to start doing. How many of you, maybe we ought to make a list of things that we ought to start doing. New Year's is coming up. People make resolutions. We always think that's a starting point. Make a list of things you ought to do this year. How many of you have ever done that? You ever make a list or at least made a statement, this is what I'm going to do this coming year. Like, I'm going to quit eating all this junk that I've been eating the last 50 years. Right? How did that pan out? Maybe we need to make a things to do list, or maybe a things to quit doing list. You got the two categories under your practice list right there. Outward action, inward attitude always go together. Outward action, inward attitudes always go together. And then he said, learned and received in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Paul said this. And the God of peace shall be with you. See, I said that this morning. Bringing somebody, you can lead somebody to the truth, but it's different than leading them into the truth. When they're led into the truth, that means when they embrace that, they receive it inwardly, make it a part of your life. You know, where something's just so natural, you're not following a set of rules or regulations. When something just becomes, it's just a natural part of your life. And that's what God's talking about right there. We don't have to get a guideline or a rule book, but when living holy is a habit, when being righteous is a habit, those things right there. It's what's in the heart. And the results of all these things, you get this list straightened out, these four lists straightened out in your life, and the results of them, this are the peace of God it says the peace of God shall be with you, the last sentence in verse 9. And the peace of God shall be with you. That'll settle it right there. That's what we're talking about, peace on earth. We're going to have peace in our hearts when we have those lists straightened out. A prayer list, a praise list, a ponder list, and a practice list. Those are the four lists right there. Come on, Paul, we'll be done with our sermon.